AM, and we are very, very pleased to be joined by City Councilor Susie Nicasian.
Hello, Rich.
Good morning, Susie. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in this morning.
Sure.
Last night the council talked about supporting, basically it was a resolution supporting the idea of the state spending money out of the general fund to do a study on a passenger rail corridor between the Twin Cities and Albert Lea, which would include Northfield and Owatonna and Faribault, and then points much further south as well.
Yep.
This is a project that you have worked, shall we say, tirelessly on.
Yeah, I'm a little excited about it.
And
it's worth being excited about.
Well, yeah, it's something you've been real passionate about. What? Let's just start from the beginning. Just tell us a little bit about the program and the study itself.
Well, the beginning of the program in 2009, I moved to Northfield in 2001.
Okay.
And I was really surprised that a city so close to the Twin Cities had no regional transportation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from the East Coast, where everyone, you know, it's just everybody can get around so easily.
Right.
Of course, we don't have the density, but it really is life-changing in
right.
many ways. And I was volunteering for the Northfield Torch program, which, as you know, is a very successful high school program that
yes.
works. Has had remarkable success. Income challenged kids who first gen getting to colleges all over the state and region.
Yeah,
98% graduation rate. I mean, like up from 47% for
wow.
decades. And the problem became then: how do we get youth to college?
Right.
Because they don't have cars. Their parents sometimes don't have cars, or they don't. And in the absence of regional transportation, and that really hit a bone for me, because I'm the daughter of an immigrant to this
right.
country who was orphaned and always said if it wasn't for the New York City subway system, he wouldn't have been able to go to high school.
Wow.
While working, and he went on to grad school and sort of did the American dream.
Yeah.
And I didn't. It just struck me as unfair. So I started looking into our transit options and in discovering that our rail corridor, it's a Union Pacific rail corridor,
mm-hmm.
a very strong corridor,
mm-hmm.
connects to both Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul, and had until 1968 about 12 trains a day.
Oh, really?
So the community for decades lived on the rail. We have great historic photos of the rail. St. Olaf College was founded when a group of Lutherans came down from Minneapolis by train, took the wagons up the hill and said, this is the site for our college. I'm not making it up.
Now you're hitting me in all the feels. That's my alma mater. There it is.
Okay, so the train is responsible. And so bring that full circle. And, of course, with the opening of Highway Interstate 35
mm-hmm.
And the interstate highway system,
sure.
We switched to cars, and that's worked fine. Now fast forward into 2021, and you have communities like Northfield. An estimate done by Rice County found that over 50% of our population commute out county to work,
right.
both to Hennepin and Ramsey. So we all meet for coffee at the corner of 94 and 35, those
right.
of us that can drive. And so it just seemed to me that we need more balanced transportation. So in 2010, we had a town hall at Carlton, about over 100 people packed the Great Hall, to say it was an even discussion. Is this something we want to pursue for the Northfield community? And
right.
all the leaders were there. It was community leaders, grassroots groups, school representatives, colleges, great conversation in which I had them look at the pros and the cons to really make sure you always want to know what the negatives are.
Right,
in front.
Right, right.
And it was a wonderful discussion. We still have the notes from that. But there was really a unanimous decision that we should pursue this and just see what will be involved.
Right.
In 2015, it wasn't just me, but a coalition of over 40 cities, counties, grassroots groups, the chamber, the hospitals, colleges, joined in urging the legislature to add our corridor to the state rail plan.
Okay.
So there's like a game board, you know, like first you do the square. So first thing you need to do is get onto the game board, which says your rail corridor makes sense for passenger rail.
Right.
And ours certainly does,
mm-hmm.
because it doubles as both a regional connection to southern Minnesota. And that's a region, you know, this whole vast southern tier of the state has no regional transit. So, and then the same line continues due south of Albert Lea to Mason City, Des Moines, Kansas City. And there's an Amtrak map. It basically creates a north-south spine line for the
right.
national Amtrak system. And that's the train that ran 12 times a day. It was
mm-hmm.
called the Twin Star Rocket. district. It went from the Lone Star State to the North Star State.
I agree.
So this, where we are today is we got approved and not only added to the rail plan. If people Google Minnesota passenger rail plan, they'll see that there's a statewide map of six regional corridors that feed greater Minnesota and connect greater Minnesota into the metro and to each other. And we're now added to that plan.
Okay.
So the next step on the game board is the resolution the city took last night, which is to ask the state to study what's involved with this corridor. Where would the stops go? What kind of infrastructure is needed?
Okay.
And mindful, we want a project that will benefit freight rail and passenger on the same line. It's everything has to flow well, and that's in our interest. That resolution is we have a $9.3 billion budget surplus, as you know, in the state. And this is a request that's been brought in the past and will be brought again by Representative Lippert and a number of other representatives for the $500,000 that is needed to study.
Right.
And let me just put that in context. $500,000 is the cost of one highway intersection off I-35. So for the money.
Yeah.
And it is for the money, because all statistics across the country are that the smartest investment for economic development is to invest in existing rail infrastructure.
And that's the key to this. This is existing rail.
Right.
Now, this is a line that's owned by
Union Pacific.
Union Pacific. So how does that work with the freight line? And they would have to allow the state to use this.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. So first the state studies it to know, get our ducks in line and say, what is it we want to do? And then the freight line knows that there are, their first priority is keeping commerce flowing, obviously, and that's a huge concern nationally, right? But for instance, one of the pieces of this that I'm studying is Northfield has 13 rail crossings within a mile on that UP corridor.
We hear them all.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And so do the people that live next to them.
Yes, they do.
And by introducing passenger service, there's a higher safety standard that's required on rail crossings. And so one of the consequences of benefit to the UP, the Union Pacific, is that we'll have better safety, which allows their freight trains to move through more quickly, more smoothly, and possibly without blowing the horns.
Does this benefit the Quiet Zone initiative that the city's taking too?
Absolutely. Yeah, they go hand in hand.
Okay, cool. All right. So the $500,000, what does that go towards specifically?
It's MnDOT studying where are we going to put the station stops. If you look at the map, just here north of 2nd Street, our rail corridor splits. There's an east line that's ready. Trains run on it every day. When the big boy steam engine came through town a couple of years ago, there was a woman in the second seat, in the brakeman's seat.
Oh, really?
And she's from Northfield, Minnesota.
Oh, that's cool.
And she's one of seven women, female engineers. And I said, where are you going? I told her, we're trying to get trains. We would like a train that would connect us up to Duluth. And she goes, really? Well, I'm going there this afternoon on this train. So the rail lines go there, but the study is needed to know, okay, what kind of infrastructure and signaling and positive train control is needed to benefit the whole system.
Right.
The investment of those dollars, though, by the state is at a time when we can leverage with the recent bipartisan approval of the Infrastructure and Investment and Jobs Act. That's $66 billion. I catch myself last night. Could it be billion? It's billion dollars.
Yeah.
And the reason it's billion is because if you want to stimulate your economy, if you want to grow an economy, you invest it in existing rail infrastructure. And we've got $66 billion of that larger bill. It's like $1.3 trillion, I think, going to that. Our corridor exactly meets the criteria that the Biden administration and Congress are looking for. It serves unserved region. It uses existing rail infrastructure. Mm-hmm. It serves rural communities. And I always think about it like the five E's I talked about last night.
Right.
Economic development, there's just the statistics conservatively is that for local cities served by passenger rail, every $1 invested is $4 for the locality.
Okay.
Not even to mention the larger businesses that come to the state, people that come to the state.
Right.
So economic development is just a very smart investment for the state.
Yeah.
And we have, fortunately, a statewide network of rail. So it's not just an isolated, it's using the whole network of existing rail and helping it run better. On top of that, I would count equity because, as I've said, there are people that can't get around.
Yep.
Also, as an approaching senior myself, I'm soon not going to want to drive on the highways.
Right.
And being able to get on a train to get to where I want to go is game-changing.
Right.
For just about everyone. But there's equity in another sense, which is Minnesota has long suffered, this is my personal opinion only, with sort of a metrocentrism,
mm-hmm.
that transportation investment focuses on the 7-county metro.
That's true.
And it's hard, in the conversations I've had with leaders in the city, to get even their attention. And by investing in this regional rail plan, we're pursuing a more balanced, more equitable transportation system, which supports Greater Minnesota as well as the metro. And the Greater Minnesota cities, if you read clockwise, it's a line from Duluth, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, into St. Paul. Winona is already running. Our Northfield line, a Mankato line into St. Paul,
mm-hmm.
and St. Cloud. And all of those lines feed both regional and
right.
interstate passenger rail service. So it's just a great connection for Northfield.
Something I've heard you discuss before is the fact that the rail line here, if you put that line here, you would be able to connect students to every private college in the state.
Yeah, I was really surprised by that. That's my new E. It used to be four E's. The third E was environment.
Yeah, sure.
Because the green, if you want to do something about greenhouse gas emissions on a massive scale that's needed to save our planet, electric fuels are great, but these trains run at 73% of the greenhouse gas emissions that cars do in terms of when measured in terms of actual people moving. And similarly, I think it's 84% more fuel efficient than planes, obviously. And they're right here.
Yeah.
And it benefits freight as well. So, and then the last E, education, when I overlay the statewide map of regional corridors with the map of the Minnesota Private College Council, 17 private colleges in Minnesota, including St. Olaf and Carleton.
Okay.
All 17 of them are located on one of those six regional corridors.
Yeah.
And that's because of the history I spoke of before.
Right.
In the 19th century, early 20th century, you put a college on a rail line.
Right.
And it's perfect not just sense. The private colleges, it's also the MinState systems, all seven of our state colleges, and four of the five main campuses of the University of Minnesota.
Wow.
So it would be a game changer for students getting to jobs, for faculty who have careers in two places. And for that reason, I'm proud to say the private council, Minnesota Private College Council, has just become the first stakeholder for this round. President Anderson and President Byerly together, Carleton and St. Olaf, mm-hmm. Championed a letter from the Minnesota Private College Council saying we need to support regional passenger rail. They didn't use this language, but almost like it's educational infrastructure.
Perfect. Perfect. Counselor Susie Nikazian, thank you so much for coming and talking about this. I do hope that as this progresses that you will come back and sort of keep us up to date on
I'd love to talk about
what's going on. Great.
Thanks so much.